Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
Can you believe it? Can you believe it? 229 episodes after this one is finished. Right?
That's a lot of episodes.
Yeah, that is a lot. But it's actually more, and we say this a lot. It's actually more because we had specials and bits and pieces in there as well, which we don't count as the number of episodes.
Yeah, and it's look, it's a different milestone, but let's celebrate it. It's today when this episode goes out. It's the five-year anniversary of the company we both
look at. Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, Thursday, that's right. That's gone fast.
Yeah, Social Storytellers, 5 years old.
Yeah.
Wild, we should celebrate.
Let's go do it.
Let's go out and have some fun and post some photos and let everyone know. Well, we're just going to tell everyone next week what we got up to.
But knowing us, we will forget.
Probably.
But that's okay.
That's all right. Stay tuned.
Go look for it yourself. The internet's got search bars.
But you don't have to go looking for news because I've found a bunch and some trailers.
Whew, I don't have any trailers, but I've got so much news. I think I'm going to have to rapid fire some of them, actually.
Should we crack in?
Yeah, let's do it. Look, I'm rapid firing this one quickly because it's literally just a sentence. But the official Star Wars social media pages have posted a photograph, and it's of a director's chair, and it says Ahsoka in the back on the back of it.
Yep.
And that basically just means that Ahsoka has started production.
Nice.
It's well, very exciting.
I imagine we'll see that next year sometime.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Cool. Look, Netflix has given the thumbs up for a third season of I Think You Should Leave with Tim Robinson, which is that really weird comedy thing that I love.
I watched the first few episodes ages ago.
It's weird.
And then I forgot to watch.
It's so weird.
I should jump back into it. You've got to, yeah, you're right. It is weird. You've got to be in the right mood.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And his stuff is always idiot man gets shown to be idiot and then doubles down. There's every sketch, and I love it.
It is kind of the way that Louis Theroux does his interviewing styles. So it's like I know nothing. I'm going to make you, the person that's actually crazy, think I'm crazy. So you explain to me you're crazy.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. It's
so good.
Yeah.
So really good. I'm stoked to hear that.
Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. This week's edition is brought to you by washing your drink bottle out sometimes. Obviously, you don't have to do it all of the time because that's boring, but sometimes so that you're not drinking gross mold or other unsavory things. Do it for you. Give it a scrub today. Experts have bad news for us. The ancient and very expensive looking gold coins that locals have been finding as they dig holes in their backyards are not worth much at all. In fact, they're only 30 years old and were from the board game that isn't Monopoly but still caused many tantrums and family arguments. It was called Take It All, and the main objective was to manipulate the rules so that you end up with all of the money before anybody else does. The dice rolling could leave you with either mountains of coins or none and owing other players actual money for the rest of your life. It caused so many tantrums, with people throwing out the game coins out their back doors. The government had to step in and they banned the game. Apart from the odd ones showing up on eBay, they're all very, very rare because many copies of the game were burnt by their owners. The Telegraph poles won't exist from 11 p.m. Tuesday night. In their place will be big tall bits of wood or metal, and the electricity wires will be hanging off them. Cotton candy will be illegal from next month unless referred to as fairy floss. This is in keeping with the local fairy guild's requirements. They invented the sugary treat and therefore are granted naming rights. They've also put a tax on it, so it'll cost $400 a serving now, which we think is a bit steep, but everyone's hands are tied. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville. I'm stoked to hear that they're officially Jack Ryan, that show on Amazon Prime with John Krasinski, that has been officially, well, sort of. It's rumoured, but it's going to be official any day kind of thing, that it is going to get a fourth season.
Nice.
And that's going to be the final season.
Sure, wrap it up.
Wrap it up, but then there's going to be a spin-off headlined by Michael Pena, who was in
Ant-Man.
Yeah, well, I was trying to remember which Narcos season. It was Narcos Mexico first season.
End of watch. He's been in a lot.
Oh, yeah, he's been in heaps of stuff.
You see him, you love him.
Anyway, he's going to play a main character from another Clancy's Jack Ryan kind of universe book series. So sure. If you really love Jack Ryan, I watched the first couple of seasons only recently, actually, earlier this year. They're really exciting. Like once it's those kind of shows that you're like, and then when you start, you're like, oh, I've got to finish it now. Got to finish it. They haven't even got the third season out.
Sure.
So we're
Krasinski's having a good week.
He's a busy, busy man.
He's a busy man.
Yeah. Always has been, I reckon. Since The Office kind of, well, I mean, he would have been busy with The Office, but since The Office kind of finished, he's just non-stopped himself.
Good on him.
Man's got a career. Yeah. Mm.
And a wife.
And a wife.
So it's a finale week here in Australia for Lego Masters Season 4.
It's gone so fast.
It has gone very fast. And if that's bumming you out, don't sweat, because May 31st, Lego Masters US Season 3 kicks off.
Mm.
And whereas we get 3, sometimes 4 episodes a week and they bang it out in the course of a month, over there it's 1 episode a week.
Well, that's kind of standard, isn't it? Like yeah. You feel like that's the normal thing. I'm not sure why here we do that.
That's how they do our reality shows.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you show
Married at First Sight gets a block.
My Kitchen Rules.
Yeah, they do it.
Do that. You know, have episodes Monday, Tuesday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and then other programming the other nights, this sort of stuff. So
It works.
Anyway, I'm excited that more Lego action is always a good thing.
So have we had any of the US Lego Masters airing here, like on free-to-air? Like does Channel 9?
I'm sure they do. Yeah.
If they do, it's not really properly advertised. No, like Australian.
That's right. They don't push it in the same way. I'm sure it is shown somewhere, maybe on Binge
or one of these ones. Maybe something like that. Yeah.
But yeah, in the States, it gets pushed hard. At the moment, Domino Masters is almost done and then it will kick over into Lego Masters.
I do like that premise. I haven't seen any of it.
It's pretty good fun.
Yeah.
It's a different type of thing to Lego Masters. Mm.
But that's. That's good.
Oh, there's a whole different level of tension. Lego, there's a bit of tension occasionally I hope they don't drop it or I hope it doesn't fall. Whereas Domino Masters, you watch someone build something for an hour and then turn around and their shirt wafts a breeze the wrong way and that hour of work is gone. So there's weirdly a lot of tension on that show.
But isn't that why people watch car racing?
I think so.
For that. For the distinct.
Is something going to go wrong?
Yeah, exactly. I want to talk about this bizarre story. I'm not going to read the full article, but you know how VR's a thing? It's not huge because it's a bit cumbersome. You've got to wear the VR headsets, expensive. You often got wires attached to things. You often see people VRing, hitting stuff and they hit their television and all that kind of thing. Anyway, scientists have invented mouth haptics for VR. They say it's going to be great because, like, you can experience drinking a beverage or feeling the sensation of wind while flying or driving. I'm like, no, that's not what that's for. That's for adult happy time VR things. Yeah. That's the only reason they have invented that. It's nothing else.
I don't want to taste a VR ice block.
No one's got any interest in that. It's not going to work because that's not what they're focusing on.
But what you've proposed, I'm in.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's check that out.
Everybody's going to be getting the VR for that. I mean, I just love because I saw a couple of headlines, right, about it. And I kind of scanned a couple of different articles just to see if they would say it. But all the comments. People can see through that. It's too obvious. So that's funny.
Wow.
Very funny. But I've got some devastating news.
Oh.
Obi-Wan?
Yep.
Will not be in the Emmy race 2022, mainly because it's not out in time. So what they have to do with their series for a series to be eligible for the Emmys in a year is it has to be the finale has to have aired by the 31st of May.
Sure.
Now this won't
kick off.
It will have kicked off. 24th or something. Yeah. So we'll have at least a couple of episodes, but their final episode probably won't be till the end of June. Mm-hmm. So that's why. So you know, will they try and put it in for next year? Yeah. I reckon they probably will because they did that with The Mandalorian. Yeah. So don't expect to see Ewan McGregor at the Emmys this year. But he'll be there for next.
Would that be this? When is 20, the Emmys?
22, oh.
Is it early in the year?
I feel like it's early in the year, so we won't see for ages.
Yeah.
Mm. All right. Well, by the time it comes out, the Emmys, we will have forgotten that Obi-Wan was a thing.
Well, something it might, I don't know, be up against next year's Emmys is the Game of Thrones prequel series House of the Dragon.
I've tried to really suppress any sort of expectation about this.
Me too. Me too.
Yeah.
Some of the cast members involved, I'm pretty on board with. Matt Smith, great doctor.
Oh, yeah.
Paddy Considine, always good fun. But we'll see. Anyway, and there are plenty of people that are very excited. They're getting more Game of Thrones. I saw Australians get happy because we will be getting it at the exact same time as the US, dropping on August 22nd. Here it's going to be airing same time on Binge.
Oh, nice. Okay.
It will be available on Foxtel as well and channels appropriate there.
Yep.
And I'm sure iTunes either a week after or when the day after the season ends.
I just don't know. There's no way that there's going to be that big water cooler thing with this, mainly because of what happened with the final season of Game of Thrones. But also it's a prequel, so you already know what's happened, and it's based on a book that he actually finished, so you can read what happened.
I'm sure there's going to be a lot of dragon action.
There's a lot of dragons in this one. So there's more than three.
As long as they lean into that sort of stuff, maybe it will stand out from the OG. I'm sure the water cooler moment at first will be, are you watching or did you watch?
Yeah.
It's that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I hope it does all right. I'll definitely be checking it out.
Yeah,
production values and stuff are always great.
Yeah, absolutely.
The guys that tanked the last one aren't involved.
They've got nothing to do with it because they jumped over to, was it Star Wars?
And then they jumped
to Netflix for, I don't even think it's like a proper thing. I think it's like a first look kind of thing.
Yeah, development deal.
Yeah, so who knows if.
They're in timeout.
Yeah.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
More slightly devastating news. I think this is worldwide, and I did get the heads up about this. Beware, if you're a massive Wiggles fan and you've got Netflix and you like to watch it on there.
What?
Well, the seasons that have been running there, they're going to be taken down at the end of May.
What?
Actually, even closer. Maybe by the end of this week, they're going to be taken down.
Are they being replaced?
That's what they think. There's no word, but this is worldwide.
Fuck.
This is worldwide, right? So at least here in Australia, you've still got iView, ABC iView. You've still got Stan. They still have.
I don't have an iView or Stan button on the remote.
Go and get. Well, yeah, that's true. You've got YouTube, but then you have like the ads. But what they're saying is the series could be renewed. Because Netflix license a lot of like this kind of content, and it means that it's for a certain amount of time, but it also doesn't mean that they're not.
Well, and the content they've got on there, the most recent episodes I think are from 2017.
Yeah, they're the ones that the kids want, right? You want to watch the same episodes over and over again.
Lily watches them on a loop all the time, that and Sesame Street.
Yeah.
So as long as Sesame Street's there, it's okay. But she watches those Wiggles things a ton. And there's like a 1 hour, 7 minute one that's all nursery rhymes and bedtime shit that is the business.
Oh, she likes that one.
Well, that is a good end of day one.
Oh, yeah.
If I need to get her to settle down, that helps.
Yep.
So,
yeah, just keep an eye out. You might need to get yourself
an
iView app or something. Yeah. Because they've got them all. But Netflix would be stupid not to.
Yeah.
Because the amount of hours spent watching.
The only reason I think that could be lapsing is because, so in the States, Disney Channel airs Wiggles.
Oh, okay.
And it would be a big boost for Disney Plus if they were to chuck a whole bunch of Wiggles content in there.
Could that happen here then, potentially?
Maybe. I don't know. But on the same time, their fruit salad TV thing, they're pushing their YouTube hard.
Yes.
So maybe they want to just contain their stuff a little bit more.
Yeah, maybe.
Probably not, though.
It's probably just get money put in everywhere. Yeah. They make a lot of money.
You've truly rocked me here. I need some news that's going to cheer me up a little bit and possibly you as well. But
yeah.
You remember Travel Man with Richard Ayoade?
I love that show.
That was the reaction I was hoping for. Well, in the vein of that sort of thing, Rainn Wilson from The Office, he is going to be starring in The Geography of Bliss, a travel series for Peacock. He traverses the globe searching for the world's happiest and least happiest places.
Interesting. So, I mean, don't we hear about places up, you know, in Scandinavia where it's dark for 6 months of the year and that can be quite unhappy, like the people can be quite unhappy 6 months of the year. So I imagine he's going to go out there, have a look around. I think in India there are groups that are like laughter groups, so they meet up every morning like at a park or whatever and just laugh.
I'm sure there's going to be all sorts of that sort of thing.
That's cool.
Throw him into situations. He's a bit of a curmudgeon.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he's very spiritual and talks a lot about that. So it'll be an interesting journey. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Yeah. I'll definitely keep an eye out for that.
In a world that time forgot, we are the Watchers.
If you're a massive Halle Berry fan, like so many people are in 2022, she's going to do a new thriller movie called Motherland. It's about a mother and her twin sons who have been tormented by an evil spirit for years. Then one of the boys questions whether the evil is real. And then the family's sacred bond is broken and it becomes a fight for survival. Oof. It could be a stressful thing that you could watch on a Saturday night when it streams.
What's that called?
Motherland.
They should call it Drag Me to Halle.
That's good. I like that. That's very good.
Well, yeah. That's,
it could be really good. That. It could be really good.
But I probably...
It sounds like it's got a bit of horror in there, yeah. You know. Yeah.
Bit of fun. Just some more news, or should I just start jumping into some trailers?
I've got a couple more news stories, very, very quick.
Oh, yeah, go for it.
So Keanu Reeves and the stuntman Chad Stahelski said that their main goal for John Wick and coming up with John Wick stories and whatnot is basically you make sure you figure out how to make John Wick suffer and then you work backwards from there.
Love it.
That's all it was. Yeah. So Keanu kind of went, oh, yeah, sometimes I'm thinking, well, if we're in the desert, then put him on a horse, but the horse, you know, then something happens to the horse, you know, that kind of thing.
Awesome.
So that I like the way that they kind of break that down because when having seen, well, I've watched two of the films, but having seen those, you're like, oh, that makes sense.
It completely does. Yeah. And the third one as well. That's
a great process.
Put him in peril in a bad situation and watch him untangle the mess.
Yeah, exactly. And my final story for this week, and I'm sure you'll have a little word about this film, but Doctor Strange 2, I haven't seen it yet. Multiverse of Madness. Mm. People say it's a bit scary. A little scarier than they thought. In fact, so much so that people in the US are saying maybe this should have gotten an R rating over in the US. Which it would have been M here. Yeah, because there are some pretty violent and gross, like horror.
Yeah, we'll wait till we get into review section. I will talk about it at top level. I'm going to try and keep it spoiler free where I can, but I strongly agree with that.
Okay.
Yeah, Shay really wanted to see the film, and I'll get into why I'm not letting her. We can watch it at home at least. But it's done very well. I saw something as the 10th biggest opening yet, the biggest opening of this year, bigger than Batman, and 5th biggest Marvel opening.
One of my favorite headlines regarding it this week was, are summer movies back?
Is it back? Well, you look at the slate of films coming out this summer. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, this is the strongest slate in fucking years.
We're busy. We're busy again.
Oh, so much good stuff.
Good fun. All right, now trailers.
Before Doctor Strange 2, there was a trailer that I wrote down called Avatar 2. I didn't write down what its real name is, but I'm going to call it Avatar 2, : The Shape of Water.
Okay,
or something
great.
Like that. I can't tell you what the trailer was. Most of it's fallen out of my brain. I literally just wrote down Avatar 2, but it looks wet. There's a lot of underwater stuff. There's things that look dinosaurish but with stuff stuck on. It made me go, I wish this was just dinosaurs. There was a book when I was younger called Dinotopia with beautiful hand-painted pictures of like a society where dinosaurs never went extinct and we live alongside them and could talk to them and all this sort of stuff. And it was very much an Avatar-style beautiful
Maybe James thing. Cameron saw the book.
I'm sure there was a bit of a touch of that. He's lifted from an awful lot of things that we all recognize. We know what you're up to, James.
But what I think is interesting is that you said I watched it, can't remember anything of it. So it's kind of almost like having read your horoscope.
Well, yeah, and it wasn't setting up the story. It looks like the humans and the Na'vi.
Can't remember.
I'm going to say Na'vi are still working together more, and I don't fucking care. And there's four of these things coming.
The one Avatar thing that I thought looked interesting was the game that they showed last year. There was a trailer for a video game about it, and everyone's like, oh, my God, here it comes. Why is there an Avatar game? Oh, actually, it doesn't look too bad.
Well, look, the Avatar area at Disney World is pretty amazing. There's one where you fly on the back of one of the
things. The flying squid thing. And there's another
like chilled out riverboat that goes through, and it's all these trippy lit up fake plants and stuff.
It was such a massive film. Massive film, but I don't remember much of it.
It was massive because it was, you've got to see it in 3D. You've got to see it on the bigger screen.
Yeah. And
otherwise, I said, shit, I hate that. Hated it.
I didn't hate it. I just don't remember it.
I walked out of that film angry of like, that was not a good movie. I don't understand why so many people loved it. It was a great experience at the films, at the cinemas, yes.
Mm.
But why would you watch that at home?
Yeah.
Ugh. Anyway, one that you will watch at home and that I'm stoked for. I know he's been working on this for the best part of 3 years, but you remember I loved that show, Adam Ruins Everything.
Yes.
He's back, Adam Conover.
Yep.
He's got a 6-episode series dropping on Netflix May 19th called The G Word, and all 6 episodes are about how the American government works.
Oh, okay.
And the show is executive produced by the Obamas.
Oh,
see, here's the twist. Part of the thing that he would bring up a lot of the time on Adam Ruins Everything is that, as impartial as he wanted to be, he still worked for a company, you know, that was on a network that took money from advertisers. There were stories that were squashed by executives that he wasn't allowed to talk about because it would reflect poorly on things.
Yeah,
because it's the Obamas, he's funded properly, and there's no one saying you can't overturn that stone. So it looks like it's going to get pretty fucking real. It seems that he's brought a lot of the writers and actors that were on Adam Ruins Everything along for the ride with him.
Nice.
But it also feels like he's playing less of a caricature of himself, which he did on that show.
Yeah.
And it's a far more serious thing. I'm stoked for this.
Yeah, I'm kind of intrigued to check it out, particularly after the last, 5 years? No, maybe more, 6 years of the – We were just inundated, at least here in Australia. I would imagine it would have been even worse in the US, but just inundated with American politics stories because the leader was
a lot
in a lot and just really enjoying getting his words out there all the time.
It's going to be good.
Yeah.
It's going to be good.
Yeah.
June 8th, we've got Ms. Marvel dropping on Disney Plus.
Oh, nice.
So that's going to be dropping kind of halfway through Obi-Wan.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be pretty cool that we'll be getting a Star Wars and a Marvel show each week for a couple of weeks there. Trailer had some more cool stuff showing a few other different powers and things. But then finally, the big news, and it only came out this morning, but boy, oh boy, I'm stoked. June 3rd, Floor is Lava Season 2. It's finally back. You remember that kicked off pretty much as COVID lockdowns hit.
A lot of people were watching it and enjoying it.
And it got a lot of us through.
Mm.
And it looks like they've gone bigger, bolder sets for this season. There is a volcano set.
Oh, nice.
Oh, it looks hard.
That's really fun.
So people are going to eat so much shit. You just die horribly.
And never be seen again.
Never. They're dead.
That's my favorite part of the whole thing.
It's what we were there for.
Yeah. Oh, that's good. I can't believe it's been this long.
I know. It's been, 2 and a bit years?
Yeah.
It's very, I imagine it's an expensive show to make.
I guess so, but we all watched it.
We all watched it. But hey, good on your Netflix, because I'm sure it would have been just as easy to cancel that one.
Yeah, they
and
do.
And not like pony up the cancel. Cash for that. Mm. So between that and I Think You Should Leave getting another season, I'm happy with Netflix, even though they're canceling all this other stuff and people say that they're done.
Yep.
There's still got a few things that I like, but leave the fucking Wiggles alone.
I know, that's just controversial. I reckon by this time in next week or so, things will be very different.
You know what's not controversial?
What?
A bloody fun fact.
Oh, yeah.
So this week's fun fact is because I got so excited about The Floor is Lava, I remembered that film Dante's Peak.
Oh, yeah?
Remember that from 1997?
Wow, very long time ago.
Pierce Brosnan and Linda Hamilton. One of her later roles until she came back.
Yep.
So Michael Douglas was originally set to play the lead. He was going to play that Pierce Brosnan role.
Yeah,
but he had
right.
to drop out very last minute. Pierce subbed in, and they had to get the ball rolling quick because the cast and the crew of the movie found themselves in a distribution race with 20th Century Fox, who was producing Volcano, you'll remember, with Tommy Lee Jones.
That's right.
Due to a sped-up production schedule, Dante's Peak reached theatres almost 3 months earlier than Volcano and thus had a far better box office success. And everyone remembers the name Dante's Peak and no one remembers Volcano.
No, I don't remember Volcano. I remember that it was a thing. I also remember there was, maybe this was a bit beforehand, but there was that movie with Tom Hanks and Anne Heche, was her name.
Yes.
And or maybe it was Meg Ryan. And they were, it was like Tommy goes to the volcano.
Joe
or something.
Versus the volcano.
I was like, there was
that's
some 80s. Name.
That's great movie.
Yeah, there was some it's name. That's interesting. I wonder why Michael Douglas couldn't be in it. Maybe he was just filming something else.
He's probably quite busy.
There would have been that would have been smack bang in the middle of Pierce Brosnan's Bond time,
yes,
right?
Yes. So at that point, GoldenEye had come out.
Yep.
The production company were at work pre-production wise on The World Is Not Enough.
The World's Not Enough. That makes sense.
So in between, he went and made Dante's Peak. I keep wanting to say Dante's Inferno.
Yeah, I know.
It's a significantly better thing.
Yeah. That's a good fun fact. I wonder where that is. It has to be streamable somewhere. Well, 'cause it's a pretty big film.
If you watch it, you can let us know what you thought.
Yeah, I think
I
will.
I don't need to see that again.
I remember
when there was that point where Armageddon and Deep Impact came
big
out.
Big thing.
There was just that point where disaster movies, and they were competing disaster yeah. movies. It happened like two or three times, and everyone went, whoa, let's not do that again.
Yeah.
One of these always loses.
I've got a great idea about a disaster movie about a comet. Me too. Should we just combine our ideas? Nah, let's just do different ones. Great idea. I got a good quiz for you.
Hurrah!
It's based around time loops.
All right.
Which we really like.
We do. It's relevant to my interests.
Yes, I think you're going to have fun with it, but it's not going to be too niche-y, so that if you are playing from home, I reckon you can still give it a crack.
All right.
Yeah. But should we get into some watching suggestions
please.
First?
Please.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
I want to hear about Doctor Strange.
We've got to
get start with this.
So no messing around, and I'm going to say big spoiler warnings, even though I'm going to tread around things very, very lightly.
Yeah.
The trailers very much didn't give away much.
Huh.
They kind of painted a picture that we thought we were going one direction, and about 8 or 9 minutes into the movie, something grabs the wheel and swerves in a different way.
That was
it's
quick.
Great fun, and I had great fun with the movie.
Yes.
I did not particularly care for the first Doctor Strange movie, and I should say that
really?
Now.
Okay.
I know a lot of people love
yeah,
it, and
I didn't
it's one
mind
of the favorites.
It. Yeah,
it was when I've watched it afterwards, I've really enjoyed it. But when I saw it at the cinema, I came out feeling like I could have been more.
Okay,
because Doctor Strange in the comics, his stuff is trippy, crazy, really balls to the wall out there.
Yeah,
and this film took a while to get to that point, but once it got there, there was some truly loopy stuff that I really, really enjoyed. But Sam Raimi is the director. I love Sam Raimi. He made Spider-Man 1, 2, and 3, number 2. If it's not, it's still in contention for my favorite favorite superhero movie.
Yeah, cool.
But he also did Evil Dead and Darkman and A Simple Plan. So many great movies. He hasn't made a movie in 9 years. And it is a weird thing of Marvel are starting to let directors have a bit more flourish, shall we say, on their films. Because for a long time it was you came in and you worked within the mold, no visual difference, all this sort of stuff. Sam Raimi is allowed to be Sam Raimi, and so you get a lot of weird POV, creepy, crawly shots zooming in quick. Bruce Campbell is there as a cameo. The haunted, scary book he films in the same way as he did the Necronomicon in Evil Dead, all this
sort
of stuff.
Gosh, well done saying that name.
Thanks.
Necronomicon.
So there's moments that I was pulled out of the film.
Oh, okay.
Because it was like, oh, that's
yeah,
he's doing
yeah,
his
the
thing.
References.
And
there.
It was fun, but at the same time it was like, This doesn't normally happen in a Marvel movie. So there was some slight disjointedness because of that. The other part, and it, again, it's very difficult to talk about with some, without some spoiler stuff, but if you loved WandaVision,
yes,
which a whole lot of people did, some of this film is kind of upsetting.
Okay.
And then, so one of the only Marvel things that Shay has watched the whole way through enamored was WandaVision. And she loves the Babysitter's Club. And one of the main girls from Babysitter's Club is in this movie as the teenage girl. And a lot of this film is bad guys hunting the Babysitter's Club girl to kill her and steal her power because she can punch. She doesn't know how to use her power yet, but she can create rifts between the multiverse so people can jump between universes.
She punches through to create.
And the general stance is she doesn't know how to use her power. Mm. If we took that power, we could use that to go and
do our thing.
So it's her screaming in terror for a lot. Marvel generally cuts away from an on-screen death or cuts back and you'll see an arm crumpled underneath. Right. You know, this does not cut away.
Mm.
And so while it's very cool for some shots, it made me go, holy crap, I can't take Shay to see this at all.
Okay.
So I had to come home very stern and be like, no, maybe when it's out at home and we can watch it here, very different story, watch it at daytime, the lights and stuff. It is a scarier movie than Marvel's ever done.
That's interesting in that it definitely sounds like one of the Marvel things that you have to watch in order to watch more of it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like it's not like your Moon Knight where you're like, well, if you don't watch it, you still understand
this
what's going on with other things.
Super connected, and it's clearly setting Doctor Strange up as not the new Iron Man, but he's very much a linchpin between a lot of these characters now and this sort of stuff. So it's very important, and you know, Doctor Strange, Avengers Infinity War and Endgame, WandaVision, those four, I guess, are the required viewing for this.
Okay.
Spider-Man No Way Home gets referenced, but it's not as...
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So
it
has a lot to do. It has a lot of pieces that it has to move around. And it does all that, but yeah, it's really weird. As I say, I enjoyed it. And if you love the Marvel stuff, you got to see it because it's good fun and there's some great stuff that happens and things. But at the same time, I don't know. Sam Raimi just didn't quite meld.
Okay. I feel like if I was to go and watch it now, given that, and I've heard other stuff from Nathaniel, I feel like I would walk into that film more prepared for what it is.
I think that's going to be the case. If I was seeing it after hearing some of this stuff, then I'd be like, oh, okay,
yeah.
I understand. This is that bit. I'm going to, yep.
Yep.
So yeah, but still good fun. Still some good bits that really made me smile.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yes, so it still had the Marvel things that
For sure. I know I'm being much heavier on this than I usually. Okay.
That's all right.
It's not like Eternals. Eternals sucked.
And
I talked about then that it was beautiful to look at, but a crap movie.
Yeah,
and
you just didn't enjoy it.
And
yeah.
Never got into it. This, I was on the edge of my seat for plenty of it.
Cool.
But it was, again, maybe this is, they haven't actually said this, but maybe Marvel Phase 4 is them actually stretching their wings and letting people try stuff.
Things, yeah.
So you've got Moon Knight off doing its own thing.
Yeah.
You've got WandaVision being fucking weird. You've got Doctor Strange with Sam Raimi. You've got Eternal. You know what I mean? It feels like they're branching things out a bit. Now, I will say that there was one particular word used a few times through the film that I'm not going to say here because, again, spoilery stuff. But this one particular word, which we'll talk about in a few weeks, what the ramifications of that are, has me very excited about what could be coming further down the track.
So what is the next thing that we have to be excited about in terms of this Marvel? This leads into this.
So Ms. Marvel is June 8th, and she is going to be appearing in Captain Marvel 2, which comes out either in November or early next year.
Okay.
That's called The Marvels, and that's going to be her, Monica Rambeau from WandaVision, and Captain Marvel.
Cool.
So the Marvels. And then we've got Thor.
Yep.
Love and Thunder.
Yeah.
Early July.
Okay, so that's probably the next big thing that would.
Yeah, and that's going to have sort of Guardians of the Galaxy and all, you know, plenty of stuff to tie there. I can't remember. There's a lot.
There's always a lot. It's too much. Anyway, it's not too much. It's just a lot.
I would love to talk about this film more when you've seen it.
Yep.
And we'll give it a week or two because then
others will have seen it.
And the bit that is hard to talk about this film without talking about will have been out there long enough that we can talk about it without talking about it.
Yep. I get what you mean. Yeah, cool. All right. Well, we are going to talk about Moon Knight soon, but maybe a bit of a palate cleanser in a time-looped theme.
Ooh.
Season 2 of Russian Dolls. I finally got around to watching it.
You loved that first one with first one. Is it Natasha Lyonne?
Yeah. She's great in it. She plays that not crazy, kind of crazy New Yorker, that kind of, hey, can't you see I'm walking here kind of character? And she's absolutely perfect in it. And for her, there's no because what she's doing is she is reliving in the first season the same day over and over again. It's her birthday, and she keeps waking up at her birthday party. So she comes out of the bathroom. It's the same thing every time. And her friend goes, hey, birthday baby. It's the same music every single time. And the day finishes with her dying in some interesting, bizarre way. And there are a few other ties that I, you know, won't get into, but that's the premise, right? Living. So she's got to figure out why. But for her, it's not crazy. The way she's speaking to people about the fact that she's living in a time loop and she's living the same day over and over again, she's got no time for I probably won't talk about it because you'll think I'm a bit crazy kind of thing. She's like, I'm just going to tell you because I'm going to see you tomorrow and you got no idea.
Yeah.
Exactly, which I really liked. But so whilst the first season plays on time loops and trying to figure out why a time loop is happening and where the connections lie, season two, instead of looking at time as a circular thing that just never stops and there's no way off the ride, season two is more like a train that will take you to different times.
Okay.
And you don't know how to control that at all. You don't know why you're going to those different times.
Is it in a linear fashion or is it jumping back and forth within time?
Back and forth, but always like to the same times. So she will jump from 2022,
yep,
into the 80s.
Okay.
And then back again to see if something's changed.
Sure.
And it's kind of like Quantum Leap in that she's not, when she goes back to the 80s, she's not playing herself. She thinks she's herself, but she's not. Once she looks in the mirror, you discover who she is. She's inhabiting
someone else. Okay, all right.
But everything she does in that other person,
yep,
directly affects her and her storyline and her life.
Sure.
It's really cool. This one, this season was a little bit harder to get a grasp on. Like it was, everything was happening all at once kind of thing, where the first one you were like, oh, okay, I get it. It's the Groundhog Day time loop, where this one is doing a lot of different things and where she's trying to change things in the past, yeah, to see if she can better the future. There's another character who is not changing anything because they say, and they actually say to her, they say, oh, we can't change anything because that's in movies and TV shows. Causality. The minute they change, exactly, that kind of thing. She's like, what are you talking about? I'm from New York, that kind of thing. It's really interesting and I think it deserves a second watch just so that you can get an idea of everything that happened. I feel like if, for example, if I was to watch the first couple of episodes again, I'd go, oh, they are telling me right there that that's what was going to happen at the end. But it's all about do you create your own destiny by trying to change other people's lives?
Sure.
Through them.
Sure.
Because it's all about her. Yeah. Everything's always about her. She's a very selfish character. It's really cool. I love the way that they both seasons are very different in the way that they approach changing time and dealing with time. Cool.
Awesome.
Very cool. I'd be interested to see, particularly the first season, what you think, even just the first couple of episodes, because I know you like that kind
of. I do like that sort of thing.
That premise and idea. Mm. And it's the first season is done really nicely. You kind of go, that was good. You know, nice, tasty episode. That was good. That was good. Russian Dolls, Netflix.
Nice. Mm.
Still trying to make Fetch happen? You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
I only caught the first episode because that's all that's out so far, but I'm very keen for more. I don't even know. It's called Lil Jon Wants To Do What? Now, you remember Lil Jon, of course. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Okay.
Okay. So 6 or 7 years ago, Lil Jon got really into interior design.
Yeah, right.
And he now has a company with a lady and they are interior designers, and he comes out. He's the idea and the salesman and the pitch and all this sort of stuff.
And she's the doer.
She's the doer and hires the contractors and gets that sort of stuff done. But he comes out and comes up with crazy ideas that you wouldn't come up with on your own. And if this first episode is anything to go by, that's surely his bag. It's a very white family house he goes to, and they want to redo their basement. It's just storage, and they've got some beds down there and stuff, but they want to turn it into an entertaining space.
Yeah, we want to be able to use the space, enjoy it.
And he's like, how about we knock down this wall, we'll put in a bar here, we need a stage, because he says that there's some guitars, the mum loves to do karaoke, so it just keeps going.
And are they watching it?
Horrified.
Because the budget's getting blown? Is that the
dad is worried about the budget. The mum is quite enamoured with Lil Jon.
He's so cool.
And, I mean, to his credit, he comes up with an awesome thing, and he gets like a custom neon, like an artist who does custom neon.
Yeah, so nice.
He writes a nice message for them and gets it turned into a giant display on their wall. And he calls up Fender and he's like, yo, I'm doing this show I want to get some guitars and bass guitars and stuff. So he does the hustle.
Yeah.
And he's a big entrepreneur and he's launched a whole bunch of businesses that have been really successful.
Sure.
This is kind of what he does.
Yeah.
Apart from music producing. And he knows how to play the camera and all this sort of stuff. But it's just great watching someone who's got a very specific creative process, being that this is similar to what you and I do of coming up with ideas out of nothing, stuff, to watch him talk openly about his process and still doing it in a way that's playing up for the cameras.
Yeah.
But there is a moment when the Lil Jon persona falls away. And you're just seeing the guy that loves doing this stuff and loves ideation and getting bigger and bigger and still having to work within a budget, but like, how do you knock someone's socks off?
It's like changing rooms, but on a grander, less 90s scale.
Oh, and he's just coming up with ideas that are great, but like, so there was one room that they wanted to keep as storage, but they didn't want any party goers to go into. So he's like, what if we build like a fake wardrobe and there's a book that you pull and then
it's like Narnia.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh. So there's all these hidden doors and walls through there and shit. It's awesome.
That's very clever.
Yeah.
What if he teams up with Vanilla Ice for just a season?
Sure, because they're all into it.
Yeah. All those renos.
Yeah.
I'd watch that.
Just check out the first episode. Was called Concrete and Cognac. And that was the theme for what they went for and stuff.
That's very good.
Cognac's got that warm wood tone.
Yeah, that's right. What color was the neon? Was it like a blue?
There was a blue and I think a pinkish purple.
Okay, I'm happy with that. Very, very happy with that. I decided I needed, because I'm trying to do this New Yorker puzzle, right?
You're very New Yorker today.
I don't know why. Maybe
go for Nathan's hot dog.
Well, I was watching Russian Doll whilst doing the puzzle.
Sure.
But I felt like I needed to watch it too much. You know, it needed more of my attention. So I thought, I'll put an old movie on. So I was like scrolling through Disney, through all their old films, and there was War of the Roses. And I'm like, I think I remember that. It had Danny DeVito. Yeah. Kathleen
Turner
and Michael Douglas, who you mentioned before. I was like, I don't remember that being funny. So I put it on. It is funny, but it's also not funny because it's just two people who start off meeting each other, falling in love, having a family, and then slowly just disliking each other. And neither of the two, when they decide to divorce, will give up the house. So it's either that they bunker down and they just destroy everything that the other person likes more. Yeah. But the interesting part of it, right, is it's directed by Danny DeVito. And does a pretty good job.
He directed Matilda. He's a great director.
I forgot he'd done all of that, right? But this was obviously before Matilda. Mm. Two very different films. Very different in the way they're filmed as well. Like, you know, Matilda had those sort of those close up. You remember the yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. All of that kind of thing. This is very much exactly what you would think it is. A 1980s film where people are hanging off chandeliers and stuff
like
that. Why
isn't that Matilda angle called the Danny DeVito POV? That's what it
really
should be, because that's like he just made a film of what he sees.
It's just what I know. Yeah. I kind of want to watch the, what was it called, Romancing the Stone?
Yes, I think
that's going to be my next one, because it has a bit more adventure-y, looking for treasures, Tomb Raider kind of thing.
I love that. I watched that again about 10 years ago, and it holds up.
All right, that's going to be the one then. In the next few weeks, I'll probably have watched it. We'll have a chat about it.
Nice.
Should we now tackle Moon Knight?
Yes, we'll do it. Moon Knight, all six episodes have aired.
We will get a bit, I think this is where we're going to do some spoiling, because I don't want to have to talk about the whole season without saying anything.
Yeah.
It's a bit difficult.
Yeah, it's done now. If you're not caught up, sorry.
Yeah, just turn this off and watch it, listen later, whatever. But you'll have missed the quiz, so that's a bit of a problem. And we're not doing timestamps because I will forget to do it.
Tell you what, it's hard to pick between Oscar Isaac and Ethan Hawke for who brought their A-game more. Wow. If we want to talk Emmy contention, Ethan Hawke was
where the film is. Not the film, this is the season. He was unsettling because, obviously he's – the original character that you see him play is very unsettling. Like this guy who is has obviously been tormented before, but he's found a – where Oscar Isaac has found chaos is the way to cope, and being unhinged and almost unable to maintain anything, any resemblance of normalcy – Ethan is just, he's zenned himself.
He's balanced.
He's balanced himself, but it's all hanging off the belief of his belief of another Egyptian god who.
Crocodile.
It's the crocodile who is the Minority Report. That's what he is.
Oh, boy. It was just a lot of convoluted god stuff happening there. It was well executed. I felt it was all easy to understand.
Oh, yeah. Unlike Russian Doll, there were no bits where I was like, wait, what's going on? I always understood that I didn't have to grasp a hold of everything and understand everything because I knew that they would tell me later.
Yeah. I thought it was very cool at the end when they were having their Marvel movie or show third act fight that you always know is coming.
Yeah.
But that they kept the fight very street level between Moon Knight and Harrow. And there were just occasional moments where you'd see the gigantic Khonshu and Amit battling in the background, but it was never the focus on them.
It was almost like Godzilla and King Kong kind of stuff,
But it always shot it very detached from them because we're humans. We're not meant to be able to fathom what's going on between gods and stuff.
So by keeping us very far back. That's great.
Kept it at a distance.
Super marvelly bit was at one point during that battle. I can't remember her name, but the wife.
Yes, Layla.
Layla's got her armor and stuff and she's having, she's taking part in the battle and a young girl, maybe about 12, goes, "Are you the Egyptian superhero?" And she goes, "Yes, I am." I'm like, there we go, tick that bit off.
Yep. New diversity inclusion.
Yeah, totally. Commence. We did it. I know we were talking about that kind of Tomb Raider, Uncharted, Indiana Jones episode that ends – bizarre. Where you're like, hang on a second, how are we going to get through this? And it did. It then went into absolute madness. And you said, "Oh gosh, I'm really glad it went there," because having a look at that, did they call it an insane asylum? I'm not sure if that's what they actually – I don't actually think they referred to it as anything.
No, because it wasn't. It was the afterlife.
Yeah.
It was bizarre. Yeah. But yes, it never got called out. But there was an insane asylum at the end of the actual last episode. That's where Harrow was in the real world, was in one of those.
Yeah. I know, it's really confusing. But I really liked Ethan Hawke there because suddenly he was not the person who was trying to seek balance. He was
broken.
He was broken. But he was also trying to still be in charge because that was his job as opposed to a passion.
Now, I get the twist of keeping that final reveal to the very end. But they had dropped so many hints throughout the series that we knew something was coming.
Mm.
So we still haven't heard at this point whether there'll be season two or whether he'll be appearing in a film. But as much as Oscar Isaac's like, oh, no, it's my contract's just a one and done, that's all. Bullshit.
Yeah, you can say anything before the last episode happens.
Yep.
And you know, people will believe it. I reckoned that last – so the fifth episode, the way the fifth episode ended, I thought if this was not a Marvel thing, if this was not a Disney thing, if this was more like your, not this deep, but, you know, almost your Donnie Darko but lighter thing, this would be the end of the series.
Oh, for sure.
It would end with
Mark.
It would end with Mark finally having peace and finally being in the afterlife, but everyone else suffered on the way. Stevens left in the sand, yep. You know, that kind of thing. That could have easily been the end, I thought, and it would have stayed with me. It would have stayed with me, but I knew it. I mean, obviously I knew there was another episode, but I knew that they couldn't let that be the end. But I would have liked that ending.
It was just a really well-done show.
Mm.
I think the so much of it hung on the casting. I think it was brilliant that they had an Egyptian director who, you know, I just did a lot of stuff right. And, as you say, that fourth episode, halfway through, I was like, oh, come on. Tomb Raider stuff is fun, but this is not what I'm here for. Ooh,
there he is.
And then, what that continued on for the end. And I really hope we get more because I would like to spend some time with this altar. It seems shady.
I do like the whole these gods, no one really believes in them anymore, but they're still doing stuff. Kind of reminds me of American Gods in that these gods, they still exist just because you don't believe in them, still doing things. I thought that was a nice way to look at how Neil Gaiman sees that versus how whoever came up with the Moon Knight story, I don't know who it is, but yeah.
Well, some people are really like, how does this fit together with the Eternals who've been there for 7,000 years and may have been worshipped as gods in some societies? I did like that there was, look, it hardly tied together with any of the other Marvel properties with two exceptions. One, they mentioned Madripoor, which Madripoor was in Captain America and the Winter Falcon and the Winter Soldier,
the series,
that was that shady country they went to for one episode, and the other mention was Tarawet, who was the hippo goddess,
mm-hmm.
mentioned. Oh, I can't remember what it's called, but whatever the afterlife in Black Panther is called.
Oh, okay.
She mentioned that as being a separate afterlife, so they kind of did set up that this is one version of afterlife and gods and things, and there are like a multiverse.
Mm.
Many, many others for other gods and stuff. Mm. So, is that idea that they're just floating around.
Yeah.
And then we're going to see a whole bunch more coming up in Thor 4.
Mm.
So.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a couple of little cameos there. Definitely has to be. I know I think what I'm going to do with my Marvel TV shows, I think Wanda's still number one. Just because it was so crazy, and I really enjoyed the TV show references, even though some people didn't like the first couple of episodes, I liked them because I knew what they were referencing. And then maybe I think Moon Knight's going to sit under there. So it's a number two, just because it's so different.
I think Loki is still in my top spot, just because it was so balls to the wall Marvel comics.
Yeah.
And then probably Wanda, then Moon Knight.
Yeah, cool. We like the weirdest stuff.
Actually, What If might be above Moon Knight for me as well. Look, don't get me wrong. I loved Moon Knight. It was great fun. But there were more episodes of Come On than Yeah for me.
Yeah, right.
And that's just because I'm so
of course
acquainted.
Where I'm not, and I'm happy to go with something that is not very Marvel-y. Like, you know, in the connections.
There you go.
I'm happy for that.
Got to cater to everyone, and they're doing a good job of it. Keep it up, Marvel.
Indubitably.
Don't drop that ball.
Don't you
dare.
We're
all rooting for you.
That's right. Here's our money. Would you like a quiz?
So much so.
Time loop movies,
yep.
TV shows as well. Every question is about some movie or TV show that has a time loop.
All right.
We'll go with the first one. You'll start to get an idea. So what time loop film had the original title of All You Need Is Kill? We speak about this movie quite often.
I know it when it is you're talking about. Is it a film that's got a few different names depending on where you are in the world anyway?
Yeah.
Yes. And is it one that someone dies over and over and took that role because he knew the audience would enjoy watching him die over
yeah,
and over?
Yeah, that's
and over?
Right.
That's going to be Tom Cruise starring in The Edge of Tomorrow, also known as Live, Die, Repeat.
Live, Die, Repeat, which is what I thought the original name was, but it's not.
All You Need Is Kill.
All You Need Is... Emily Blunt as well, brilliant in that. She's brilliant in everything, so you know what you can do.
And that film's got Buddy Kip from Looking for Ella Brandy.
Oh, yeah. Harrington, say his last name?
I don't know. Kit Harrington, he's from Game of Thrones.
No, you're right. Yeah, sorry.
Kip someone. Aussie fella. Good on you.
Yeah. Yeah, he did a few things over there. According to a quick Google search, what's the expected top temperature this Thursday in... Palm Springs, where Palm Springs was set. So we're in May, coming into summer. Thursday, the day that this episode comes out. What do you reckon in Celsius this is going to be the top?
The fuck kind of question is this?
Yep. Palm Springs hot.
It is really hot. It gets up to like 40 something, isn't it?
It does, but it's May.
28 degrees?
No. 33. 33 is the expected top this week.
Okay. This is a really fucking weird question.
It's a real radio question.
How the fuck am I meant to know the climate?
You're just guessing.
Okay.
Because you've seen the movie Palm Springs with Andy Samberg.
But I'm sitting here going, what movie? Are you talking, like, are you trying to get me? I thought you wanted a name for a movie. That's
right,
why
I was going. No.
My brain was
Palm
like,
Springs is in the film.
There's a band called 98 Degrees. That's what I got. That's why I'm for 28. Okay. So you just wanted to know what's the temperature like. All right.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Great movie, that one. Haven't watched that in a while.
Yeah, I'm going to watch that again soon, I think, because I'm kind of in the, obviously, time loop zone. What is Andy McDowell's character's name in Groundhog Day? Do you remember? I just want the first name. I can also give you the first letter if that helps.
For some reason, I want to say Sandy.
Starts with an R, four letters.
Rach.
She does look like a Sandy, though. No, Rita. Rita.
Mm. Rita. That common name.
She was
name
the producer, of course.
We all hear all the time.
Well, Bill Murray heard it a lot.
He did, didn't he? He did.
What was it supposed to be, like 12 years or something that he had spent?
Yeah. I think he spent meant to be 12 years, and I think Andy Samberg's meant to be 40-something.
That's a long time. What year did The Butterfly Effect come out? It's after Dude, Where's My Car? Oh,
which Dude, Where's My Car was in 2002?
I'd say one or two.
And Butterfly Effect, I believe, is 2003.
Oh, 2004. Oh. There was a sequel I found
on
Google.
Oh, I saw that.
Oh, is it horrible?
It's not much chop. Mm. But if you're going to watch, like, Butterfly Effect holds up fine now. It's an unsettling movie and stuff. But yeah. I watched it a couple of years ago with the deleted or alternate ending, and it's really bleak.
Oh, is it?
Oh, yeah, like
Okay.
Because he can jump back into his own body and experiencing it at a different time. He, in the not release, so this isn't a spoiler because it's not in the actual film. He goes back into the womb and chokes himself out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because his whole life is such a schmozzle and he makes it worse and worse and worse and worse and worse trying to fix it. So he just goes back and
never was.
And that's how you find out because, like, in the film, the mother had had two previous miscarriages.
Oh.
And so the inference is that he's had older brothers that have done this as well.
Wow.
Bleak.
That's super bleak.
Yeah.
It was around the Donnie Darko time, it actually. Was. So, you know, made sense. What US state was the film 51st Dates set in?
Ooh, I know this one because it has Sean Astin rocking.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Clothes that would be appropriate for that place.
Yeah.
In Hawaii.
Correct. Yes. I feel like in 51st Dates, Hawaii was almost the third main character.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was definitely billed above Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah, I forgot Dan Aykroyd was even in it. That's hilarious.
Never forget. And is that the one where he works at the aqua park?
Yeah.
I think so.
Yes.
I think I'm gonna watch that movie again. I haven't watched that in a long time.
It's a lot of fun. She's just so Drew Barrymore.
Isn't she? You know? And that's capturing her at peak. Mm. What me? who me?
That's good, Drew Barrymore impersonation. Final question. How many seasons were there of the, not the film, the series, Quantum Leap?
God, I'm going to get crucified.
It's fine. She's never going to listen.
She's not. It's
I couldn't. There were so many hand gestures then. That was five. 1989 to 1993.
Sure. I'm
doing another.
That's it. I'm thrown off because they're doing a new version.
Doing a new version. Yeah, that's right. I'm going to watch that.
Oh, bye.
Ziggy. I think I need to also watch the original again because I think every time I've watched it, I've just watched like one episode here and there now. Mm. You know, it's always on television somewhere. So, yeah, I'll give it a watch. But I think to go from the beginning would be good because they all do lead on from each other.
It doesn't – he never gets home.
Mm.
Spoilers.
Speaking of Blake, gosh.
And surely at some point he's got to wake up in like – because he always wakes up in a human body.
Mm.
What if he wakes up as a dog or a mailbox?
Mailbox. It was a mailbox.
Haunted mailbox.
In Butterfly Effect, right?
Uh-huh. And that gets worse.
Mm, certainly does. Tom, on that note, thank you very much.